Bienvenue à Les Affaires Brassicoles, votre balado sur l'entrepreneuriat brassicole du Québec, avec Leonardo Calcagno de Baron Mac.
Hi, my name is David Muldoon. I work for Collective Arts as the Director of Operational Strategic Projects. And at the moment, a big push of ours is, and a big project of ours is, to expand on our contract manufacturing business.
Excellent. Look, thank you for taking your time today. Just to tell you right now why this, maybe the sound is weird, because we're I'm in a garage of my sister's, because in Montreal there was a huge winter snow, and everything is down in Montreal. Like 80% of Montreal is down right now. So if something cuts down, it's because we have a big. It's very bad right now. It's happening right now. Like 80% of people have no electricity in Montreal. That's what's happening.
Yeah, actually,
I know, but it is what it is, man. The reason we're talking today, because I've been talking for a couple of years with brewers and always telling them, you know, like, before you launch your business, before you do any tests of your business as a brewer, as any other company, we always tell them, you know, try contract brewing. It's something you should do, it because, you know, you can experience it. You can do small batches. You can do experiments, and, you know, besides buying a lot of equipment, you know. And as you know, we talked before, contract brewing has always been a dirty secret of the industry. People say that they're not real brewers, stuff like that. So, but as you know, because of what's happening right now across the world, because the economy, you know, pricing, stuff like that, distribution problems, people are going afterwards. So I was very happy to see that people like, with your experience, Collective Art, are launching this kind of services for brewers and across Canada. But before we start talking about contract brewing for Collective Art, I would love to know what's happening with you guys. Besides always making great art, are you guys doing amazing beer always? Your Mimosa, it's one of my favorites. Your Mimosa, it's crazy beer. And I would love to know what's happening with you guys right now.
Yeah, well, as far as Collective Arts, I mean, we've got a really, really strong brand. And so far, obviously, the pandemic was a bit of a curveball for everybody, and it's really changed the landscape of, I would say, craft brewing and almost the craft beverage industry, or the beverage industry as a whole. So we've done a great job to pivot with all of the curveballs that have been thrown at us. And at the moment, we're really concentrating on expanding our product range into the individual beverage category, so we could tee it up and say that it's almost like four legs of a stool, where we've got our beer, which is always and will always be our core brand, and it's amazing products. We've got RTDs and spirits, so we've got our own award-winning spirit line, which has basically won every single spirit award you can imagine, and we incorporate that into our RTDs as well. So we've got a core RTD range that we produce. We've also got a non-alcoholic range as well now, which includes everything from elevated sparkling and water beverages to non-alcoholic cocktails and non-alcoholic beers, which are all made in-house. And then our sort of fourth leg of the stool, which is slightly separate, which is the cannabis beverage industry. So we're in that space. And we're absolutely leading the charge on quality and sort of the products that are out there at the moment.
As always, you guys have always been very good in quality, stuff like that. And I always say to people, you know, like, if you guys are looking for art, go to Collective Art. They're very each on that. And also the drinks are amazing. But how's the market in Ontario? Because we watch what's happening in Ontario right now. We saw like Muskoka buying breweries. We're seeing people closing down. We're seeing at the same time, we're seeing a lot of Ontario big, like Central Shaw, or even the Ontario Rogers Stadium bringing beer to the microbreweries to their centers. So something's happening in Ontario right now. So what's happening with you guys? Are you thinking about buying other people to expand, or right now you're like, let's, the brands that we have, we're working right now. What's happening in Ontario?
Yeah, I think at the moment, from Collective Arts perspective, obviously with the pandemic, it opened up a lot of opportunity for the smaller breweries that weren't necessarily in the LCBO or in the chains to start selling and taking a piece of that market, which then diluted for everybody. Although our products are still strong, we're still producing good volume. There's a lot more players in the market. So as far as acquiring other people, I don't think that's something that we're looking to do. But it kind of ties in with the contract manufacturing side of things in a way that we've been working hard as well during the pandemic, obviously, in our process, optimizing our processes, reducing our waste, reducing our utility consumptions, which frees up some capacity as well. So the idea would be to keep our facility working as optimal as possible. You're filling in that gap of capacity with contract manufacturing work. And again, kind of a double-edged sword because of the fact that there's this new wave of smaller independent breweries, almost startups, looking for production, we can fill in those gaps. And also the bigger breweries that might have sort of been acquired, looking for additional capacity as well. So from a top end range, we can fill in those gaps. So that's kind of how we've pivoted and sort of optimizing our business.
Are you guys doing any contract brewers like outside Canada or just here or in Ontario only?
At the moment, no. It's kind of wide. So we've got a brewery from the West Coast, and some local to Ontario. We've also got like a couple of sort of we've got a cider company as well. So we're in the cider space, launched, and then we also have some of the small sort of elevated sparkling water beverages. So quite diversified customer base, which is good. Big and small, which is also good.
I was wondering how big is the capacity you guys doing. I do 20% of your company, 25% of your company. How big are you taking time for Collective Art to do contract brewing?
It's about 20% of our capacity. So still by a long shot, our core capacity is our own brands, which again I think it will always stay that way. And we are sort of filling in the void with contract manufacturing. Although we have capacity to grow into as far as expansion, so there's work being done to sort of future-proof our facility in a way that we understand where our bottlenecks are, we understand what we need to do to increase that capacity as far as brew house optimization or new brew house or expand our tank farms, adding in additional tanks. So we've got like a capacity at the moment, which is nice, but we also have space to grow into as well.
Okay. Do you think, guys, after like for a long time, it's something you want to do for a long? I mean, do you want to continue doing contract brewing? Something that is going to be part of your core business? I mean, it's something that you guys want to do, like, because now a lot of brewers are doing that because the economy is bad right now and there's problems stuff like that. But do you want to keep it as a side business for your company?
I believe so, yes, purely for the fact that like obviously the labor and work that we sell our core brands, our core beer, and that requires feet on the ground, covering the provinces, covering the US. We sell international at the moment, so we've got markets in Asia, Australia, Sweden's a huge market for us internationally. I think it's about 50% of our international sales is Sweden. So as far as your own core brand goes, obviously that is a lot of back of house and a lot of effort outside of just producing. I think you will probably always have additional capacity or plans to add additional capacity to your facility. So to fill that with contract manufacturing, where we make good beer and we have the processes down, we've made pretty much every beverage you can make at the moment, from beer to cider, spritzers, non-alc, and blended products. So I feel like to maximize the use of our equipment, the use of our skills, contract manufacturing could be stable in our business, yeah.
So right now, as a contract brewer, are you guys doing only contract brew and brewing their beer? You also taking care of sales, taking care of marketing, taking care of design, stuff like that? Is it kind of a service you guys are doing? Or it's only doing the beer and canning and stuff like that?
At the moment, for the clients that we have signed on, we are just contract producing at the moment. But there has been a wider conversation with a few groups that leans more towards the support of a sales and distribution side of things. At the moment, we're just going through a process of reviewing those to make sure that we select a specific portfolio and bring on brands that are aligned with our core values. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to be representing a brand, you want to give it your all as you would your own product. So there's a lot of deliberation on that side of things.
There's one thing that, you know, I don't know if you heard about that, you know, Spearhead Brewing Company in Kingston just bought the Sweetgrass Golden Ale. I don't know if you heard about that a couple of days ago. And you know, Spearhead Brewing was doing some contract brewing. It was contract brewing Sweetgrass Golden Ale. That's what they were doing. And they just bought it. They just bought the companies like that. Are you guys thinking about doing stuff like that? I mean, if a brand goes very well, to incorporate directly to to Collective Art, or do you want to keep it as a side business?
I'd never say never. I don't think that's a bad thing to do. Obviously, if you're representing a brand, and if there's the brand that's grown, that's a great way to acquire additional capacity, if nothing else, to produce a product that is a facility that's been designed to produce that product. I don't see that a problem. We don't have any plans to do it at the moment, but I would never say never. I would say that from our point of view as a company that seems to be able to distribute globally, a plan or an idea to sort of partner with breweries that maybe are international to sort of tack onto that more localized production would be a plan for us. Even across Canada, as far as the West Coast or Quebec,
because I was talking to a lot of brewers, and when they heard about, you know, we're friends at Udo, that's how we got to meet online, and when I told people you guys were doing contract brewing, one of the things were like, we know that Collective Arts is growing across the world. They're everywhere in the world. It's doing stuff like that. And I know other people like would love to piggyback on your, you know, on your work and your stuff like that. That's what one of the questions people are asking me is like, if I need my brand to go internationally, is something that can Collective Arts help me out? And I'm happy that you think maybe and maybe later on something that we would love to do.
Yeah, for sure, and I think it makes sense as far from both sides of the coin. Obviously, shipping and feet on the ground in sort of those areas that are far from our core brewery, to share that load and to sort of maximize the workload of a sales rep or a distribution channel. Like we have very established shipping routes into the US. The location of our brewery is quite strategic in a way that it's Southern Ontario, but it's 40 minutes from the US border. So there's nice channels in there. Part of the wider conversation was like initially the production, but like you said, to sort of piggyback or share the load for that distribution is real. It's a really good sort of like mentality to have.
So I guess you guys one day you might become like the guys from the US, like Reyes and big companies like that, that do amazing big distribution sales, stuff like that. I think that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have an amazing knowledge wise and stuff like that. That's what I'm telling you. When I told people were crazy about it. One of the things also people ask me is about the Liquid Fest you guys do every year. Is it coming back? Are you guys doing pre-pandemic? What's happening right now? Because we have a lot of fans of the Liquid Fest to go back to Hamilton for that.
Yeah, I unfortunately never got to witness it myself. I joined the company after the last Liquid Arts Fest, but I'm not sure. I think it would be great to have something like that back, and There's a couple of beer festivals around Hamilton, but I believe the Liquids Arts Fest was unique in the way that it brought those international breweries, brought the breweries from all around the world that you might not have access to even. So yeah, I mean, it would be great to have it back.
Yeah, because the guys from SRM and Montreal, the guys from Foam in the US, they always tell me about, you know, like how fun Liquid Fest was there. You know, like they were inspired to do events because of your event in Hamilton.
No, that's really cool. Yeah, I think we've obviously, again, the stresses of the pandemic put a break on things, but I know our Beyond the Beer and the Art, we're all about enjoying ourselves and doing what you love and having fun. So yeah, yeah. I would like to see that come back.
So right now, so what's happening in Ontario right now? What's the trends that you see besides contract brewing and people buying other breweries right now? What kind of trend do you see right now? I don't know if you heard, but you know, the guys from some brewing right now just bought a cidery also. So I know there's a lot of people buying stuff in Ontario right now. So what kind of trend do you see besides business wise, but also drinking wise?
In drinking wise, we'd obviously. We've seen a huge boom in non-alc. That's sort of it's still a smaller category, but grown rapidly, and it's very much aligned with sort of the wellness and functional beverage outlook on the market at the moment. Outside of beer, obviously, people are more conscious about the health and what they're putting into the body, but still also want to have a good experience and have good flavors. So yeah, I believe that's a key piece of the market. And as well, it seems to me that tequila beverages are making a bit of a bit of noise in the market as well. There's a few coming out and which is great. It's kind of a new twist, specifically sort of like the tequila, like seltzers, like ranch water style beverage. I would say that's something that's popping up, and as well, which I enjoy the resurgence of a good lager. I think that's yeah, something sure, that's making yeah. a comeback. Yeah, like IPAs are always going to be there, and they've had a boom. But I love a good lager. Obviously, being British and from Europe, we've got some excellent lagers. So yeah, I think I can see that being a trend as well, and. It's difficult to sort of make a good lager, I suppose, because there's not that much to hide behind. When you get a good one, you get a really good one. And we've sort of done a bit of a pivot and sort of produced a new lager that we've got now as our core brand. And it's incredible. It's obviously don't want to be biased, but it's really, really good and really clean and crisp. So. Yeah, I could see that being a hit.
Are you guys thinking about going to doing some mushroom beer or stuff like that? I just came back from the Natural Product Expo West, and it was like everybody was doing mushrooms. People doing mushrooms. Mushrooms is the big thing. Yeah, are you guys thinking about doing mushroom beer or stuff like that?
I'll never say never, Leonardo. Yeah, I'll put that to right now, Brewmaster. I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to say. But I've seen that as well. Mushrooms is a... It's a functional beverage sort of thing. Obviously, they've got some great health benefits, and that's going to be a huge market. Sort of the functional wellness beverages that I suppose will become a category itself, but it can touch all the existing ones like beer, seltzers, non-alc. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Excellent. If somebody wants to get in contact with you, David, concerning the contract brewing, how do we get in contact with you to make sure that we receive all the information, or people having more questions about your upcoming, you know, like services?
Yep. So if you wanted to reach out via email, my email's davidm@collectiveartsbrewing.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and share quite often our sort of facilities capabilities. And if you reach out, we've got sort of a nice little one-pager overview on our facility. It just gives you high-level capabilities and it's a good start to a conversation.
One last question: how big do you need to go to start working with you? How big in capacity you need to start working? Is it like small batches, or you need to have like a kind of a minimum amount to work with you guys?
Yeah, so our minimum order quantity is 50 hectoliters, just due to the size of our tanks and the size of our brew house. Our maximum sort of per batch size, our brew house is a 60 hectoliter brew house, and we have a ton of fermenters ranging all the way from 60 hectoliters up to 300 hectoliters. So that's kind of like the denominations we would work in. And as far as the blending side of things, because we have a standalone sort of customized blending skid and pad that's outside of the brew house capacity, they still have the 50 hectoliter minimums, but we've got two tanks that are 140 hectoliters each. So one batch size would be up to 280 hectoliters. And that's also built in with alcohol dosing system, powdered or liquid ingredients and flavors like addition system. We also have two custom built steepers. There's also been a bit of a resurgence of hard teas, which is great. But we have two custom tea steepers. You can steep like sort of the actual tea leaves, and we've produced cold brew coffee in there as well. So that's a pretty unique addition that works really well.
So you guys are like fully equipped, man, and soon, of course, mushrooms soon.
Fully equipped, and specifically for the mushrooms. Yeah, that'll be great. A great use of that system. And outside of the production capabilities, and I know it's a key thing in a lot of people look for in core manufacturing is pasteurization. So we do also have a fairly new 60-foot tunnel pasteurizer. So that's it. 12 zones, individually temperature controlled. Super tight control of targeting specific PUs, which we don't pasteurize our core brands of beer, but anything that has like cold side additions, like a heavy juice base, we do the mimosa, and that was about a 30-odd% juice addition. We would ferment that. Anything that's got free sugars and sort of non-alc, but I know that's a big thing for co-packers, specifically on the blending side of things.
Excellent. Well, David, thank you very much for your time. Hope it goes well in Hamilton. Hope to see you soon. I'll try to go pass by when I go to Niagara Falls this summer, during September. So talk to you soon. Hope that goes well. And also keep in touch to make sure, you know, if you guys have a launch in the other service of distribution, sales, stuff like that. I know there's something that a lot of people will get in, would like to talk to you about you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks for your time, Leonardo. I've enjoyed chatting.
Thank you, man.